President Biden today addressed the climate summit in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt. He touted his administration's $370 billion clean energy bill to try to convince the world the U.S. is returning as a global leader. NPR reporter Michael Copley is in studio with me for an update. Michael, hello.
Thanks, Scott.
What were the key points President Biden made?
Yeah, I mean, he was really there to talk about what we're doing domestically and to try to convince the world that we're going to play a leadership role. I think one of the big top lines was he did say the U.S. is going to hit its commitment, its goal to cut emissions by about half from 2005 levels by 2030. He ticked through sort of, you know, the things that he's done on his watch. We rejoined the Paris Agreement. He got through Congress legislation to invest in infrastructure. He mentioned specifically electric vehicle charging. He mentioned the Inflation Reduction Act, which you mentioned, huge investment that's really expected to kind of supercharge the clean energy industry. He mentioned a proposed rule they came out with yesterday to make federal contractors disclose their greenhouse gas emissions, disclose the kind of climate risk they face, and for the biggest ones to set targets for cutting emissions. He also talked about providing about $150 million for adaptation in Africa. That's to kind of deal with the impacts we're already seeing from climate change in these very vulnerable developing countries. And he also talked about working with partners to provide $500 million for Egypt to transition to cleaner energy.
Of course, the way our government works here, the president has to work with Congress and regulatory bodies to hit a very ambitious climate goal. I mean, that's everyone there knows that, right? The president can say something, but then delivering is a whole other thing.
It is. And look, I mean, I think the U.S. is the biggest historical emitter. It's the biggest economy. We heard applause when he took the stage. There was a lot of applause throughout it. The world welcomes kind of the presence of the U.S., right? And he comes in with some real tailwinds. He has some wins that he can point to. You know, I think the reality is there's some real questions about some of this other stuff, the implementation of it on the federal contracting. How do you get the data to ensure that the federal contractors are cutting their emissions? And so I think the deliverability is the question, as you mentioned. But overall, there is a sense that he came in with a lot of momentum and his presence seemed to be really welcomed.
I think we have a little bit of sound of Biden on this.
The climate crisis is about human security, economic security, environmental security, national security, and the very life of the planet.
Michael, the president spoke about climate policy being about economic security. And of course, a big part of the conversation is the economic security of the global south, as it were, some of the poorest countries in the world that did not put most of the historic emissions into the atmosphere. There's been a lot of talk of the wealthier countries that did put these emissions up there to pay large amounts of money to give economic security and opportunity for these countries. Where's that conversation?
And I think that is the conversation that, you know, for all of the excitement around what the U.S. has been able to do domestically, that's where the frustration still is. And I mean, look, you know, developed countries still have not provided the $100 billion they promised, right? By 2020 was kind of the mark. That still hasn't come through. When you talk to folks, they say that's not even sort of a drop in the bucket of what the developing world is actually going to need. There's a whole conversation about loss and damage. This is around sort of the damage that's already been done and sort of trying to make people whole insofar as you can. It's on the agenda, but there really hasn't been meaningful money there. So I think you're exactly right. Money is sort of the big issue in hearing folks' sort of initial reaction to this. That is still the issue.
Yeah. Now, these COP meetings are generally two-week meetings. We're coming toward the end of week one. Week two is often where a lot of the negotiating behind the closed doors actually happens. What do we anticipate next week?
Yeah, just to repeat myself, it's money, money, money. And, you know, I think that coming into it, there was a lot of excitement or relief about loss and damage being on the agenda. When you pull back to be realistic about it, it's on the agenda. That doesn't mean anything's going to happen. We heard John Kerry, the U.S. Special Climate Envoy, talk before going to Egypt. And what he said was, you know, the reality is when you have 20 or so countries that are responsible for 80% or so of the emissions, there is some sort of responsibility to be borne there. But action has to be dealt with in the reality of the political context of each country. So those are going to be hard negotiations. Frustration is really building and has been building for a long time in these developing countries.
Yeah. Okay. And finally, Michael, just stepping back, the big target of a lot of these COP meetings I went to one several years ago was to reduce the warming of the Earth since pre-industrial days to 2 degrees Celsius. And now one of the targets is 1.5 degrees Celsius. What are we on target for now?
right now we're on target to blow through that. You know, I think that the latest assessment is to get on track for that, we need to cut, by the end of this decade, cut emissions in about half, close to half. And I believe we're on track to do it by 3%, cut emissions by about 3%. Mm-hmm. So we're on track to get a lot hotter.
NPR reporter Michael Copley. Michael, thank you.
Thanks, Scott.